even as we start this final hour of the show, I'm watching live video from Morgan City, Louisiana. There is a Category 2 hurricane that made landfall in Louisiana late on Wednesday. And while I don't know if it's still a Cat 2, I'll try to confirm that. I do know that there are many people in the path of the storm. Of course, a place that is very familiar with hurricanes and tropical storms and the damage that they can do. And I know that because of the nature of this year, you've got, you know, a lot of people who are thankful that it hasn't been a worse hurricane season. It's not been nearly what they expected or even what some were predicting, but that doesn't mean that it can't be as dangerous. When it came onto land, the sustained winds were 100 miles per hour. It appears as though as it's moving through and obviously dumping tons of water, snapping power lines, lots of places that are flooded, plus the winds that can be so dangerous. But it does appear as though it's been downgraded to a tropical storm, though I'm seeing video of the winds ripping roofs off buildings and everything else. So thinking about the people who are in the track or in, no, in this storm right now, Francine looks, it just as I'm looking at the TV and the Fox weather, it looks like the winds, even though there have been reports of winds up to 105 miles per hour, and in the 90s, certainly the sustained winds are now about half of that, which is good news, but still a dangerous storm with a lot of water. So thinking of those of you who are in the path of Francine, but the fact that we're only on storm F because they start at the beginning of the alphabet every season. Sometimes they actually make it through the entire alphabet and have to start over again. If I remember correctly, that was either last year or the year before they had to do that. And I know, Pete, that there were a lot of projections that would have had a much more active hurricane season. It's pretty incredible. Now, the ones that came through did do damage. I know my mom had to deal with one that came ashore in Houston going back to, gosh, I think it was July, mid-July. And that one knocked a tree down. It went, you know, they had to deal with a hole in their roof, all kinds of stuff. So there have been some dangerous storms along that Gulf Coast and, of course, with Florida and the East Coast, but not as many as what are typical during a hurricane season.
Yeah, that's we're very lucky with that. I think it was 2 years ago. I don't think it was last year where we went through that, the list again. I remember seeing it. I'm like, whoa! I didn't think we went like halfway through that second list that year. But it's been a little more active within the last 5 years, just in general.
Yes,
and I live by the water, so you know you're always looking out a little differently when you're over there, but yeah, I mean, for the people down there, they've gotten hit enough. We're thinking about them.
Just seeing the amount of rain in New Orleans, nearly 10 inches of rain in New Orleans. And so again, even without the crazy winds, that's a lot of water with no place to go in many cases, plus the storm surge. So yes, we are thinking of you. I did see that the Saints had moved out of their facilities and had left New Orleans, right, because they were concerned about getting stuck, concerned about not being able to travel with the storm coming in, because the Saints are on the road at the Dallas Cowboys coming up on Sunday to kick off week number 2. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you with us on this Thursday morning. So yes, the NFL season proceeds forward into week 2 with a game coming up in mere hours. It starts off with the Dolphins and the Bills. This one taking place in Miami, part of the AFC East. And if you remember last year, this division race went down to the wire. The Dolphins slipped backward. The Bills finished up with 5 consecutive wins, so they were able to grab that division title in the final hour. It made a difference, obviously, in the playoffs, or in the playoff seedings, I should say, but it sustained their streak of AFC East titles. Now, the Buffalo Bills have gone through a lot of change, and they've even got former players that are part of the Dolphins roster now. And so that's how we'll kick off week 2. And this one is on Prime Video. I know last week it was on NBC. This one is on Prime Video. And if you missed missed our conversation with Steve Wyche of NFL Network, we're going to bring back part of that just to look at some of the storylines. And one of those is the Bills and Josh Allen and a different responsibility on his shoulders in 2024. As for the Dolphins, a lot of what they've said this week has revolved around that Tyreek Hill traffic stop. Tyreek himself was speaking again on Wednesday about what happened and the fact that, and maybe there's some humility here, he could have handled the whole situation differently.
I'm human. I gotta follow rules. I gotta, you know, do what, you know, everyone else would do, you know. So now, does that give them the right to literally beat the dog out of me? Absolutely not. But at the end of the day, I wish I could go back and, you know, do things a bit differently.
Things struck me about what I heard from Tyreek there. If you remember on Sunday, he said, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? All right, so he was making the point that if I hadn't have been Tyreek Hill, the implication is I would have been treated so much differently. For instance, my teammates wouldn't have stopped. There wouldn't have been so many witnesses or people who were taking cell phone video. If I hadn't been Tyreek Hill, it could have gone much worse for me. But then he says, I should handle this the way other people do, or I should act the way everybody else does. Well, which is it? If you believe that you were only spared far worse treatment because you were Tyreek Hill, then do you want the police officer to treat you differently because you're famous and you're a celeb and you have a really nice car and they know that you're on your way to a football game? Or do you want the opposite? Do you want them to treat you like everybody else? So I thought that was interesting. He's saying I should have been acting like everybody else, but what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? So, a little bit of a mixed message there. I appreciate that there is some humility there. He did say, in football, we watch tape, we figure out what we did wrong, how to improve, how to get better, and clearly, he's seen the tape, everybody involved with him has seen the tape, his camp is obviously threatening potential lawsuit or other response to what happened. In this particular case, he's at least admitting that he is culpable for his own actions. I don't love, though, what he had to say about literally beat the dog out of me. For people who haven't seen the video, he didn't get beaten. And literally implies that that's exactly what happened. The police officers did not de-escalate. They definitely abused their power and authority, one in particular. And there was no need to use the force that they did, but they didn't beat him. That's not the right word, beat the dog out of me. And maybe he didn't mean it literally, but he said literally. So that implies that that's what he's talking about. So Tyreek he's giving us this idea that I could have done things differently, but I'm still not fully to blame and still calling for actions taken against the officer.
Gone. He gotta go, man. Cause in that instant right there, like, not only did he treat me bad, you know what I'm saying? He also treated my teammates with, you know, disrespect. You know, he had some crazy words towards them and they ain't even do nothing. Like, what did they do to you? They just walking on the sidewalk.
Kind of walking on the sidewalk, even after they were told to move. Yeah, I don't think disrespect is a reason why you fire anyone. If it was, there'd be very few people who are still working in the United States of America. So, I mean, I get it. He doesn't like how they were treated. I don't love how Calais Campbell was treated. There's no need to put Calais Campbell in handcuffs. And so we did have an officer that was spouting off an ego and emotion, dictating his actions as opposed to what you think a professional should be doing in that instance. But yeah, disrespect, that's not a reason to fire someone. If it was, I probably wouldn't still have a job because I'm forever making disrespectful comments about the company. Are you going to dump those, Pete? When those do happen, are you going to take them off the air?
What comments?
Oh. Well, you'll know them when you hear them. It's not quite as bad now that there is a different boss in place.
Okay.
Yes, there were disrespectful comments made about previous boss more than once.
Okay. All right.
But hypothetically.
Case by case basis.
Okay. I've never been censored by a producer before. I censor myself, of course. My own V-chip, but I've never been censored by a producer.
I'm sure I won't have to.
I don't know how I would react to that if someone censored me on my own show.
Oh, yeah. No. I wouldn't go that far. I trust you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Plus, it's not like you have to take the fall with me. I'm more than happy to take the fall on my own.
She did it over there.
Oh, for goodness sake, I forgot to tell you this. There was someone on our Facebook page who wrote about how your voice made you sound like you were in your late 50s.
Oh, thanks.
I was like, oh my gosh, I guess there are some producers in our business that are in their late 50s, mm-hmm. but not that work these hours.
No.
I mean, the number of producers that I have worked with over the course of my career, which the majority of it has been late nights and overnights, not all of it, but a lot of it. And in our business, very often it's, I don't want to say entry level, but it's younger guys in the business or younger gals in the business who are at some point wanting to work on daytime shows. That's just not me. I prefer nighttime. But I've worked with vast majority 20-somethings. Jay turned 30 like 6 months after we started working together. I'm trying to think if I've worked with any other producer here who's been in his... there was producer Dave... He was brief on the show, though. He was in his 30s. But for the most part, almost everyone I've worked with has been in their early to mid-20s, which is why it's been a nonstop revolving door. Now, you don't have to tell us how old you are. It's not a requirement, nor do I care. But I just thought it was funny that he expected that you were in your late 50s.
Well, I'm not in my 50s. Thank you. it's
not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. I will hit a milestone, but not 50s next year.
Oh, can we have a party?
Yes.
What kind of baked goods do you like? Because I haven't yet baked anything. Well, okay, then what type do your family appreciate? Because I'd like to make something I could share with your family.
Everything.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, really.
Good
everything.
News. Well, I can't wait to make you my new baking guinea pigs.
All right. That's fine.
Awesome.
Especially my son. My son loves anything that's baked and...
Chewy.
Chewy and with some powder on it.
Oh, nice. Well, we're going to have to write down birthdays so I know when these big occasions are coming up. But don't you worry. You'll be good for my baking ego if you like what I eat. So we'll have to get to the bottom of that. Yeah, we talk about milestones and birthdays. However, I just have to tell you, that is mild, the comment that someone made about how you sound like you're in your late 50s. Compared to, this is another comment that was recently on our page, which I'm not really sure how to take yet, but maybe you can interpret it for me. A guy says, I've spent the last couple years listening to you in prison or listening to your show in prison. Okay, that's not the first time I've heard that. I've gotten letters from prison. I've seen that before. But then he goes on to say, this is the first time I've seen what you look like with... 3 laughing so hard he's crying emojis.
Oh, boy.
What? And then an LOL. What does that mean exactly? I've spent a couple years listening to you behind bars in prison, but this is my first time to see what you look like. Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, I think that guy's trying to, I don't know what that guy's trying to do.
I left it up there just because I wondered if anybody else would react to it. Oh. So, yeah, I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. What people think about my physical appearance, but I just wasn't sure what the laughing so hard you're crying emojis mean.
I got a feeling his sentence is a little longer than others. just a thought.
Maybe it'd been a long time since he'd seen a female.
A lot of, maybe some confinement
maybe.
By himself.
No conjugal visits for him.
That's right.
All right. Coming up, part of my conversation with NFL Network Chief National Reporter Steve Wyche. Great give and take, a fun back and forth with him. But because we've got week 2 on the horizon, we'll pick it up talking about Josh Allen and his new responsibilities in 2024, because there is a lot on his shoulders. Online at A-Law Radio, if you'd like to see the photo I shared of the Towers of Light, they were very brightly stretching heavenward when I parked. I guess it was, what time was it? I don't know, like five and a half hours ago. And I stopped multiple times on the street to try to get a good photo. There's obviously a lot of light in Manhattan just from various buildings. But about 10 blocks north of Ground Zero is where our headquarters are located. And I'm always mesmerized by these towers of light. They shine for 24 hours. And on this occasion, they were marking 23 years since 9/11. So I managed to get a fairly good photo with the Freedom Tower in the foreground. So open up the photo, click on the photo so that you can see the whole thing, as opposed to just looking at it in the post. So that's at A Law Radio or on our Facebook page. It's there as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cook in late motion. Here's the snap. Looks to the right flat to Cook. Now steps up in the pocket. Throws. Now he's going to run. And the Beast has once again been released. Josh Allen with a 6-yard touchdown romp. His second rushing touchdown of the day. 4 total touchdowns from the Bills QB. Can you say MVP?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I don't think they give out MVPs in week number one, but Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, each with 4 touchdowns. How about that for some company after week one? On the Bills Radio Network, it was a rally past the Arizona Cardinals, and now a short work week because the Bills are on the road at the Dolphins to kick off week 2 on Thursday Night Football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Always good to catch up with NFL Network Chief National Reporter Steve Wyche. He's been in the business for a long time. He's very well connected and widely respected. And we were having a wide-ranging conversation earlier in the show, but want to bring back part of that. And we'll start with the expectations for Josh Allen. I wanted to know from Steve, how heavy is this burden he carries with all the changes on the Bills roster in 24?
They're significantly heavy. I mean, we know how great of a player he is. He's a deserved MVP, but he's coming into a season now where he's got new receivers. He's lost Stephon Diggs. He's lost Gabe Davis. You know, this seems like it's going to be more of a tight end-centric offense. And he may have to put up even more points because this defense is going to be a work in progress. The secondary changed. The defensive front gets Von Miller back. Is it going to be as good as it's been? They've already lost Matt Milano, their linebacker. So the expectations should still be there on him and also their head coach, Sean McDermott. I mean, losing coordinators over the last couple of years. He's kind of the last man standing from the big run they had a few years ago other than Allen. There's going to be heavy expectations in what should be a great division, you know, with the Jets having Aaron Rodgers back, with the Dolphins, I can't wait for the game tomorrow, to me being the best team in the division, and the Patriots, Amy, being 1-0 out of the gate.
Right? It's crazy stuff. As for the Dolphins, we know that they really came together when Mike McDaniel took that head coaching job. What is it about him, his style, how he manages this team that brought them together in a way that they really hadn't been before that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he takes the approach that a lot of people that he's coached with, Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and guys like that, take is, I'm going to treat you like men unless you give me a reason not to, right? And so he lets guys be individuals. He lets them be who they are, but he expects them to be total professionals and play to his style of coaching. And we know he's a great offensive schemer who puts players in positions to succeed. It's a cliche. But when you see, okay, I'm going to design a passing game that's going to work for Tua. I'm going to design a run game that's going to let Raheem Mostert lead the NFL in touchdowns. I mean, I think it's that. I think he probably does coach them tougher than what we've seen on Hard Knocks and things like that. But he also just treats them in a way that's like, okay, this guy's good. I really want to go out and play hard for him. But I also want to make sure I do everything that I can to make my teammates succeed.
Steve Wyche is with us from the NFL Network, already looking ahead to week 2. Man, we get so excited about the start of the season, and then boom, the weekend is gone. And in the rearview mirror, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Cleveland Browns coming off of that game against Dallas. Now this extra allegation against Deshaun Watson, which he denies. But if you're the Browns, at what point does this just give you a real bad sense of indigestion about the money that you spent on this guy?
They apparently have got some good antacids because they've just redone it. Even you know, they just redid his deal to give more cash up front. to clear cap space. But yeah, I mean, they've already put a ton of money in his pocket. And yes, this latest allegation has got to be alarming and troublesome, but they knew this coming in, not necessarily this allegation, but they knew what they were dealing with when they signed him and guaranteed him $230 million. They may close their eyes and say, okay, we'll deal with all this off the field stuff as long as he's going to win. You know, this is the guy who's going to get, he's going to be our franchise quarterback. Well, he hasn't been that the past couple of years. And there's, to me, there's no player in the NFL that entered the season with more pressure on him, because it's not just the money. It's not just the off field stuff. But when you look at what the Browns gave up to Houston to acquire Deshaun Watson, and you see how the Texans have used those assets to turn them into players like Will Anderson and Tank Dell, and now they're more of a favorite to get to the Super Bowl than Cleveland. All those things together is like, man, to me, that's why Deshaun Watson has just got so much pressure on him to come out and win, and in a lot of cases make people look the other way as to some of the other allegations and things that have happened.
Steve, if you're the Giants, and there are already calls in New York for them to bench Daniel Jones after just the one game, which is an overreaction, of course. But what do you do about Daniel Jones? How do you help him and the offense to succeed?
This is definitely something to watch in week two, because I think the Giants, especially as we saw in the Hard Knocks offseason, they have pushed in all their chips on him. This season is riding on him succeeding. Now, they've got a game against Washington this week where they're not playing as tough of a defense, right? They're playing a defense that gave up four touchdown passes. But you scheme things early to get him going. You make it simple for him, as simple as possible, to get his confidence going. Because the Giants keep losing. If they lose to Washington, those calls are going to get super loud already to replace him with Drew Lock. And if they lose the next week, soon that coaching staff is going to get desperate. It's either him or us who's going to be out of here.
Whew.
When that happens, we've seen it over and over, Amy. Okay, let's get his butt out of there and let's get the next guy in. Mm. Okay, that comes with rolling the dice. But the losses, it's productivity, which these coaches are judged on. And if the losses pile up and he's not playing well, and they've invested so much of the success of the franchise in him, they'll have to make a move to try to save their own hides.
One more quarterback question, though. With Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, they've got two guys. Justin Fields looks like he's going to start again in week number two. How do they get more out of that offense?
Well, they have to get touchdowns, because if you watch that game, you did see some good things from Justin Fields, especially kind of the combination with him and George Pickens. It seems like they've got something going on there. So you work that, right? You understand that, yes, you want to run the ball with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren and get Fields on some scheduled runs. But, you know, he made some throws that were very impressive outside the numbers. Now, is he always going to hit the obvious wide open man? No. That's just what you're going to get out of Justin Fields. He's had enough of a body of work for us to see that he's not the most consistent player. But having a coordinator like Arthur Smith, who likes to run heavy offense, they've got to do things to maybe keep him on the move a little bit and to try to hit some of those downfield throws, because, you know, if they go into Denver and he plays a little bit better than he does against Atlanta, I don't think we're talking about Russell Wilson coming in and replacing him anymore. I think it's going to be Justin Fields' job to lose.
How different it must feel in the Patriots locker room for the guys who played under Bill Belichick and now Gerard Mayo. And he definitely has talked about the collaboration and wanting to hear from guys. And once again, he's in his late 30s, right? A completely different atmosphere there.
And a guy who was brought up playing for and coaching under Bill Belichick.
Yes.
Who was using a different approach, because look at how many people we've seen, at least coaching disciples, who've gone elsewhere, who tried to be him, who've tried to implement things the way he did, and it didn't work. I mean, overwhelmingly across the board, when people have tried that it didn't work. Whereas, you know, Mayo has seen, okay, let me take the things that have worked, let me take the observations that haven't, let me be my own man, and let's see if my style as a relatable young guy can work with these players while also using some of the strong teaching principles and expectations that Bill Belichick made his calling card. Let's incorporate those in a way that makes people feel valued, but at the same time, understand the accountability that it takes to win ball games.
Speaking of Belichick, Steve, when did he turn into such a chatty Cathy? He's everywhere.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, you think about all the people, like I think about Sterling Sharp, who didn't talk to the media, who became a really good media guy, a very good speaker. Marshawn Lynch, right, who didn't speak to the media. He's just like the darling, right? And now there's Bill Belichick, who when you talk to people, you know, I used to work with Willie McGinnis, one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. And he said, look, Belichick is not what you see when he's mumbling at these press conferences. Like, when he's with the team, he's great. Like, guys really think highly of him. He's funny. He's this and that. He comes up with creative ways to keep guys engaged. And maybe we're starting to see some of that more as he tries to, you know, rebrand himself in a way. You know, we heard him say he wants to coach again, as to where he's attractive to some of these owners who might not know him.
You know, it's funny, though. I thought about the Bill Cowher situation where he said the same thing. We all thought he would get back into coaching. And then he really got to the point where he enjoyed the schedule of broadcasting and not having to have so much stress, and just eventually never got back into it. What if we never see Bill Belichick on the sidelines again?
I don't think initially it would be his choice. Look, a lot of coaches just got passed over. And we just talked about it, Amy. Like, there's a trend of the young guys. And I think that hurt Bill Belichick this cycle, right, where he really only interviewed with one team, that being the Atlanta Falcons, because everybody wanted a young, hot offensive coordinator. You know, Belichick might say, hey, the schedule's great, this lifestyle's great. But, man, when you coach, especially when you're that close to being the all-time winningest head coach, and nobody comes knocking at your door, that has to hurt a little bit too. So I think that might be why we're kind of seeing him recast himself a little bit in the public eye.
Good stuff with Steve Wyche, the chief national reporter of the NFL Network. And we talked about a lot of other topics. I'm trying to think. The Seattle Seahawks were in there. We also talked about the Chiefs. Did we talk about the Chiefs? We talked about Andy Reid and John Harbaugh and why they, as older coaches, have defied what is the youth movement in coaching, but also the youth movement with quarterbacks too. Really good stuff. Asked him, in honor of 9/11, why do sports have this innate power to help us heal from either natural disasters or man-made disasters? So great stuff with him. You'll find it on the podcast. And also love for you to check out the photos that I took of the Towers of Light from late last night, as well as a couple of photos of the Twin Towers from 10 years before 9/11. My husband and I spent an hour or so watching a documentary, as I always do, on September 11th and the anniversary, just so that I can be reminded and not forget those emotions, those feelings, the horror, certainly the heroism too, of people who sacrificed their own lives to make sure that others were able to continue living. It's a day that seems like in some ways it was yesterday or just a couple years ago. And it's astounding to think that an entire generation of Americans has grown up now and didn't live through it. I was even saying yesterday, it's a little bit like how I feel about, say, the Korean War or Vietnam War, not having lived through those, but you hear about them, you see photos, even going back to World War II. It's not something that I lived through myself. We learn about it in history books. We watch documentaries. We see the footage on TV, at least what there is. But it's a different perspective when you lived through it. And it's, yeah, there's an entire generation of Americans who did not experience 9/11 in any way. That's, wow. It always blows me away. But not that I could ever forget, but I want to make sure that every year I mark the anniversary in a way that, to me, is appropriate. So that's what I do. So you can check those out at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page too. Our phone number, as always, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Shohei Ohtani is, well, he's closing in on history, which is not a big surprise. He's definitely reeling in this 50-50 plateau that no major leaguer has ever reached before. And I don't think it's any It's not any big surprise now. He's got more than enough games to be able to reach 50-50. But with Aaron Judge stuck on 21.
Twice.
Yeah, and then I said 21. Neither one of them is 21. With Aaron Rodgers stuck on there. Oh, my gosh.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, forget it. I don't care. I don't care about Aaron's. Anybody named Aaron, it doesn't matter. Shohei Ohtani, let's go. Here's our latest sports update. I'm throwing in the towel. And here's Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, the Pac-12 is raiding the Mountain West. Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, and Fresno State have all been approved for membership in the Pac-12, beginning with the 2026-27 academic year, according to Yahoo. Those four will join Oregon State and Washington State, the lone two holdovers after last year's mass exodus. Shohei Ohtani is heading towards becoming baseball's sole member of the 50-50 club. Ohtani not only with his 47th home run, but also his 48th stolen base. Ohtani with one of four first-inning home runs for the Dodgers, who actually gave up the lead and then came back again to beat the Cubs 10-8. Some dramatic finishes elsewhere. The Red Sox walk off the Orioles 5-3 on a Tyler O'Neill blast in the 10th. The Yankees also went to extras.
2-1. Jazz grounds it. Diving stop lit. Throw to the plate. Not in time. It's wide. Birdie scores. Jazz Chisholm wins the game. And the Yankees walk off the Royals 4-3-11.
Yankees radio. The Yanks move to a game and a half ahead of the Orioles. Twins beat the Angels. Tigers win a fourth straight. The Mariners pick up a game on the Astros. Braves fall to the Nationals while the Mets staved off a no-hitter and rallied to beat the Blue Jays. Mets now a game ahead of the Braves for the final wild card spot in the National League. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson strongly denied the sexual assault and battery allegations that were filed in a lawsuit this week through his attorney, Rusty Hardin. Watson will start at quarterback for the Browns this week against the Jaguars. WNBA Asia Wilson breaks the single-season scoring record. Wilson leading the Aces to an 86-75 win over Caitlin Clark in the Fever. Wilson on her teammates.
Just selfless women. They give it their all every single day, and they're their pure selves, and that's what I love the most. And I'm trying not to get emotional. But, like, my teammates are the ones, they're the heartbeat.
I'm Pete McCarthy.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Two pitch. Swung on, hit high in the air to right. This ball's back. And the Dodgers, for the second time this year, have gone back to back to back in the first inning. The home run hat trick. Max Muncy, home run number 14. It is 5-2 Dodgers. Can you believe this?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Shohei Ohtani, he is encroaching 50-50, about to be the first 50-50 man in Major League Baseball history. He has a career high now with 47 home runs, as you hear with Tim Neverett on Dodgers radio, and also against the Cubs last night, stole his 48th base of the season. And actually, he was the first to hit the home run in the bottom of that first inning against the Cubs, but he wasn't the only one. There were actually three more home runs in that inning by the Dodgers. So they start out in the hole by two runs, but then before that inning is over, they're up 5-2, and they do make it stand. They're able to pile on. But yeah, four home runs in that inning alone, including Tommy Edman, Will Smith, and Max Muncy, all going back to back to back. Now, a lot of people wanting to know about Shohei Ohtani and 50-50 and whether or not they're rooting for him. I think Mask gave the perfect answer.
Obviously, okay. We want him to get there because that means he's doing good. It's helping our team out if he gets there. So, he's unbelievable. Every night, I feel like he does something that we haven't seen. You know, tonight he hits a ball 118 that I feel sorry for the fan that tried to catch it. It was He's just, everything he does is so impressive. So it's fun to be a part of it.
Yeah, so Shohei Ohtani, not only getting close to that history, it makes me wonder how many more home runs could he hit? How much more could he do with his bat if he wasn't also prepping to pitch every fifth day? And we know he's talked about in the past that between the scouts for his pitching starts and just in general, the amount of work he has to do to be ready for both jobs, that he doesn't take BP and that he also sleeps a lot in between starts. And so it's quite a major load to carry. But think about it. He has hit so well this year. He's been healthy almost the entire season. And now he's about to set a brand new mark with 40. Well, he's at 47 and 48, but with just a few to go. And with Aaron Judge stuck on 51, he's been there. And yes, 51 is impressive. Of course, it's 51 home runs. That's, you want to talk about rarefied air. Not very many people get to 51 home runs, and he's done it multiple times in his career, but he hasn't hit one in a couple of weeks. And because Ohtani is on a tear, Ohtani is now within a handful of home runs of Judge for the major league lead. So we were having this discussion earlier about when is it okay to start doing the daily and or nightly scoreboard watching. We're getting close. We're getting close almost to the end of the regular season in Major League Baseball. Same thing with the WNBA. So you've got both of those postseasons happening in October. And while generally our playoff focus is on baseball and is on the diamond, you know, those diamonds that are a girl's best friend. Speaking of that, I forgot to wear my diamond ring to work tonight.
Oh, boy.
Right. And I got halfway to work and was like, only because you have that moment where is it? And then I realized I just didn't put it on. In fact, it wasn't just that. I didn't put my earrings on either, or I generally wear earrings and necklace and my rings to work, even if I'm not dressed up, because I just like to. And so I walked out. Thankfully, I got shoes and
shoes
and a shirt, but I forgot to put on any jewelry. So yeah, I got halfway to work and realized I wasn't wearing my ring. And ruh-roh, let's hope the cat didn't get up onto the nightstand and decide to play with it, because it could be on the floor under the bed somewhere. Terrific.
At least you know where it is.
Well, I know what room it's in.
Right. It's not like you didn't wear it and you don't know where it is.
Oh, that's true. Good point. Or it was on my finger and then suddenly it wasn't on my finger, which actually isn't an issue for me, because right after he gave it to me, which was last July, I got it resized. It was a little bit big. I wanted to be sure that it wouldn't come off accidentally. So I got mine resized. But when we went to buy our wedding rings, he was guessing at his size. As it turned out, it's too big. So not that long ago, he was washing dishes, and with water and soap on his finger, the ring goes flying across the kitchen.
Oh boy.
So he moved his hand and the ring just goes flying across the kitchen. So yes, we had to wait, and we had one more family wedding that he wanted to have it for the family wedding. But now we're going to get it resized. And he has silicone ones for the gym. You know how all these athletes wear silicone?
Yep.
Do you have a silicone?
Nope.
Yeah. So he bought them because of riding the bike or going to the gym and lifting weights and wanted to have a ring on. And so I told him, just wear those. No, no, no. And so we finally are done with all the family weddings this year. And so, yeah, thankfully his hit the floor. We knew where it was, but could you imagine? It just goes flying somewhere and it goes underneath the fridge or the oven is the worst, because it's hard to move the oven and get stuff out from underneath there.
You talk about sizing. The way I found out what Bridget's ring size was before we got engaged was going to get was going into her jewelry drawer and finding one of her rings.
Wow,
and bringing it to
Snoopy
the place.
Snooperton. How
That's
about that?
Only way to do it without giving it away.
That's true. That's true. He asked me for my ring size ahead of time, so I had to measure just to be sure. But I didn't know when or what the ring looked like. I had no input. He kept asking me, what do you want? I want whatever you want to give me. No, no, no. Come on. Most women, women want to have some input. I don't know what you like. I don't know what I like either. I've never had a diamond ring before, so I'll love whatever it is that you give me. But it took some convincing. I think a lot of people go ring shopping together, but we didn't do that because I refused. I said, I'm not going to tell you what kind of ring to buy me. That goes against who I am.
Same here. My wife didn't. There was no preference whatsoever with that. It surprised me.
Did she know that you had taken the ring out of her drawer?
No.
Okay, so she had no idea that it was missing.
Oh, I knew she had a few rings, and they were accessible. I was digging in drawers. It was like right on the counter. It was like right
Snoopy?
On the counter. Yeah, it was right on the counter, and I got its size, and I put it back.
It was right on the counter, and she didn't know that it was missing?
In the room.
Oh, all right.
She has a couple of extra rings.
Just kind of, whoopsie. So yeah, you could blame, I don't know if you have pets, but you could blame the cat.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, I am a cat lady. And my cat frequently loves to play with items that are left on desks or nightstands. Oh, yeah. She's 16 and a half years old. And when I read a book, if I'm laying on the bed reading a book, she still plays with the tassel and the bookmark. She still plays with the socks in the laundry basket. At 16 and a half years old, she still acts like a kitten half the time. So, yes, back to Aaron Judge. He needs a cat. Stuck on 51. He may have a cat, he and his wife. Stuck on 51 home runs, and Shohei Ohtani is reeling him in. So that is also an interesting wrinkle to what's coming in October. You guys, it's not quite mid-September, but we're getting there. Wowzers.
It's starting to feel like fall.
It is, actually, but I love fall.
Yeah, me too.
If only I wasn't so fearful of my next half marathon, which comes up at the end of September, I would feel like full speed ahead. But yeah, this weekend is the 90-minute training run.
Okay.
Would you like to come along?
I probably need a 90-minute training run, but I cannot.
Would you survive a 90-minute training run?
I probably would.
You can't just start running and go 90 minutes.
It wouldn't be 90 minutes. It would be a 90-minute run done in maybe like 5 hours.
That doesn't make any sense.
Exactly what happened.
So anyway, that's why I would like September to go slower. Like it to go more slowly because, yeah, there's a run looming. Oh, well, without no pain, I just sound like ghetto there. Without any pain, there is no ice cream. So no pain, no ice cream. That's the philosophy. We are now into week 2. Let's go. We'll be back tonight after the Bills and the Dolphins. Hope to have a guest from South Florida. You can find me online at A-Law Radio if you want to connect or see the photos of the Towers of Light from 9/11. I'm assuming they're still shining brightly when I get back out to my car. So, yes, we'll reconvene in mere hours, peeps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Boom!